Breaking the very heart of God. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Oh, what beautiful and comforting words. But not so, cries the prophet that we hear today out of Jeremiah 8, 18 and 21, 9, 1. He says, my joy is gone. Grief is upon me. He says, my heart is sick. For the hurt of my poor people, I'm hurt. I mourn. I grieve. I'm in dismay. He has taken over me. He's taken a hold of me. And my eyes are like fountains of tears. I might weep day and night. You see, Jeremiah is a man of deep pain. Pain for the people who have died in the war between Judah and Babylon. Pain for those who live, still begging to be rescued by the very God that they have turned away from. And pain for the heart of God, which is breaking over the people of Israel. Is there no balm in Gilead? The prophet asks. And his painful weeping gives us the answer. No, for him right now, he can't see it. For the people right now, they cannot find it. You see, like a doctor with a trembling voice and teary eyes who tells a family that their loved one is dying, God grieves and mourns the unnecessary pain of God's children. The great physician is weeping and wailing over the children who are wasting away in an incurable terminal illness. And that incurable terminal illness is turning their back on God. It's turning to everything but what is God. You see, Jeremiah is often called the prophet of death. His message repeatedly outlines the destruction of Israel. He's telling people what's happening. You're dying. You're not being a part. But Jeremiah is also a gentle and sensitive man, able to feel others' feelings and able to feel God's feelings. God has put this upon him. He's given him this task. He's been called out for such a time as this, as it was in that day. And he's hurt. His wrath is God's wrath. His pain is God's pain. His anguish is God's anguish. His grief is God's grief. His love and compassion for his people are God's love and compassion for the people of Israel. Jeremiah pronounces judgment upon his own people, not judgment that comes swinging a bow bat to hit those who get out of line, oh no, but judgment that is woven into the very fabric of creation, a judgment that is there. In Jeremiah 8:12, it says, they acted shamefully. They committed abomination, yet they were not at all ashamed, and they did not know how to blush. They did not know how to blush. What an appropriate line for the times that you and I live in today. You see, like the people of Israel, we have turned to idols. Oh, we don't like to think that they are, but they are. We have idols all around us. Of idols in our homes, in our drives, docked at piers. We have idols. You know, our idols are worship in money. Our idols are sexuality, possessions, military strength, sports, entertainment. All these things are gods. There's little gods. There's little things that we put in place of and because of. Just because. Well, you know, preacher, I do all those things. We travel. We go see other things. That's a wonderful thing to do. That's great. Well, my kids are in traveling ball, preacher. They were gone a lot during that season. But guess what? It turns into about 3 or 4 seasons because they play every sport. And they're gone. Well, you know, we have to work on Sunday. We just don't get to come any other time. I said, well, we have things other than that. We got people that come on Wednesday night and Wednesday morning that we don't see on Sunday that come for different things. There's always an excuse. There's always something else. Oh, there's nothing wrong with going and seeing the beauty that are in the pictures that we show on Sunday morning of the mountains and the beach. the lakes, the things around us, and having good times and enjoying our family and friends. Those are wonderful things. But we can't stay there always, can we? We can't live there all the time. It's good to get away, but it's also good to come back. And when we come back, it's good to be a part of something, to get involved, to know what's going on. And see, Jeremiah is telling the people basically that they're lost and that they're dying, and he is crying for them because he hurts for them. God is telling them that I hurt for you. You see, like the people of Judah, we find ourselves as a nation and a church facing difficulty and destruction. 15 years ago, on September the 11th of 2001, we were brought face to face with our own vulnerability, nation that thought they had the greatest thing ever. We talked about last Sunday, a tragedy that hit us, the idea of the very first foreign attack on American soil since the War of 1812. The Church Universal continues to decline in membership, finding itself on the fringes of society and facing front page scandals over sexual impropriety, financial difficulties, and theological infighting. It's in the church. People fight over doctrines all the time. It tears people apart. It tears churches apart. It tears people to the point that they don't ever want to come and be a part of it again. And as we fight with each other, prisons are filled at a record high. Children go to bed hungry, and people die because they don't have the means to pay for health care. All these things are happening all around us, and we are still growing more and more in the society that we live in. You see, the balm of Gilead is a healing oil, forgiveness offered to us as it was offered to the people of Israel. But we continue to deny that our healing begins with confession and repentance. You know, we have to believe that we've done something wrong. So many people don't believe they've ever done a thing wrong. Surely that's not me. I'm a good person. I've never done anything wrong. We've formed this apathy. We really don't care. We don't think we've done anything wrong that we need to confess or repent. We don't need to talk to God that much. But we do talk to God when things happen. We do talk to God when a tragedy falls upon our family and our friends and our community and our world. We see it. We talked about last Sunday when the remembering of 9/11, how many people, the churches couldn't hold the people, hardly, that came in those Sundays after 9/11. Churches that week when that happened began to hold prayer times. People come by droves. And just a little bit, those Sundays they came, and it kept up for about 6 months. And guess what happened? People got to feeling safe again. They got to feeling secure. They got to saying, you know, well, it'll be okay. I don't really have to go to church every Sunday. I don't have to be a part of all that, because that's just too much. That's too much involvement. I just can't give the church that much of my time, because my time is precious. You see, we've begun to do the very same things that we've done. We have fallen away. We don't believe that we need to confess and repent for our own sins. God's love is tough love, allowing us the freedom to experience the consequences of our own actions, but promising to bring something new out of every destructive thing that happens in our lives. A disciple is one whose heart is broken. A disciple is one whose heart is broken over the things that break God's heart. The things that break God's heart should be breaking your heart. You should be thinking about it. You should be praying about it. You should be going forward. Jeremiah's heart was broken, but he always understood that God's love is a healing balm, bringing resurrecting hope where there I, Jeremiah, have our hearts broken by what breaks the heart of God. Then you and I can sing with our voices and our lives, and we can sing that there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. that there is a balm in Gilead that heals the sin-sick soul. Let us pray.